Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read one verse together, reading from the King James Bible, if you have that. And let's read together. Galatians 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? I'm going to talk to you this morning about who. Who? Not what. Who? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our God, our Savior. Thank you, dear God, for coming down this earth and dying in our place to pay our sins and our penalty and our punishment that we so richly deserved in hell for all eternity. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord. Now, please bless the following 30, 40 minutes, however long it is. Help us to pay attention. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. Help us to be focused on the Word of God and the preaching this morning. Bless these dear folks. I pray that this will be a help. I really believe it will if we listen. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? If you were to look at Galatians chapter number 4 here, one chapter later in verse number 16, actually, let's go to verse number 15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's one of the indications in the Bible where many people believe that Paul had problems with his eyesight. He couldn't see. He wrote another letter, very large letters. And for whatever reason, the Galatians at one point would be willing to take their own eyes out and give it to the Apostle Paul. So he's recounting them. He's recounting their history about how much they used to love the Apostle Paul. And so he says, where is the blessedness you spake of? Verse number 16 now. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They, whoever they are, now we're not going to get into in detail here, but it says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. So the question is this morning is who, not what. You will not be what you want to be in life. You will be who you hang around with. Let me repeat that. You will not be what you want to be, what you dream about, what you think about, what you wish for, but you will be who you hang around. Paul's asking the question, who hath bewitched you? These are believers, Bible believers. They believe in Jesus Christ. But as often is the case, the people that they hung around with influenced them for evil. The Bible says that evil affected their minds. Birds of the same feather flock together. Take your Bible, turn with me to Ecclesiastes. In the middle of your Bible is a book of Psalms, then Proverbs, and right after Proverbs is a book of Ecclesiastes and chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9. I'm going to talk to you about evil influences in your life. And it's usually a who, not a what. A lot of people become bitter because something untoward has happened in their life. But it's not the circumstance or the thing that's happened in their life that makes someone bitter or angry or despondent. It's a who is either discouraging you or encouraging you. It is a who is trying to lead you closer and persuade you to live closer to God, or some other who is trying to ridicule your faith and ridicule God and mock God and hate your religion and pull you away from God and give you all the reasons why you shouldn't believe in God. So it's not a what, it is a who. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse number 18, the Bible says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. wisdom is better than weapons of war. We would want peace. Wouldn't you want peace? Instead of having World War I or World War II, wouldn't you rather have peace? Well, the Bible says wisdom is better than weapons of war. All right? Okay? But one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. So a lot of things that you can build up in your life, some of the things that you work for all your life can be destroyed in one moment, 1 hour, sometimes 1 second. You go ahead and continue texting while you're driving. Go ahead. You go ahead and drink while you're driving. Go ahead. Just do something that's stupid because somebody else has influenced you on doing that you just take it for granted that you're just going to live another day, you know. Like the redneck, the last thing he said, hey, y'all watch this, you know. And you think, you don't think much about it. You think it's just, I've done this all the time because you've watched other people do it. Other people have influenced you, whatever it is. And I'm not talking about just texting while you're driving. So I'm talking about everything in life that's influenced you. My Bible says one sinner destroyeth much good. I'm going to talk to you about evil influences or good influences. Now, I'm not saying all these are in order, but I want you to pay attention to these 11 influences in your life. Number one is obvious, is your parents or your guardians, whoever brought you up. Maybe it's an aunt or a grandparent. Maybe you didn't have a dad or a mom in the house. Whoever you grew up with, first of all, had the first and the biggest impact on your life. There used to be maids and nurses that used to, you know, with rich people. A lot of times rich people took their kids and put them in boarding homes or let the nurses or the maids raise their own kids or, you know, bring them up. But whoever that person was in your life had the biggest impact in your life. Whether you know it or not, the first 3 to 5 years of your life have the biggest impact on the rest of your life, the first 3 to 5 years. Number two are your neighbors and your neighborhoods. Wherever you grew up. You don't realize it, but you remember your neighbors. I do. I remember when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, I remember who my neighbors were. Unbeknownst to me, they would have an impact on my mind, on my thinking for the rest of my life. That's who I grew up playing basketball with and baseball with and football with and playing out in the yard and shooting guns. Not real guns, but play guns. They got me into real guns, amen. But we play cowboys and Indians and cops and robbers. And, you know, now we'd have to play IRS and tax sheets or something like that, you know, or whatever. One world government against libertarians. Who knows what the games are now? I'm just saying. But those neighbors that you didn't think much about have influenced you somehow. How they talked, what they said, what they did. You picked up habits. Number three, relatives and siblings. Maybe siblings as before neighbors, but relatives at least, okay, that you went over, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, people that were related to you that you saw on a regular basis have influenced you more than you think. Number four here that I have is one of the most dangerous things, and that's a government school. Now, the danger in a government school is not just what they teach, the abomination that they teach, but it's the kids that go there that you're going to associate with that don't believe in God, that come from homes that don't believe in God, that hate God. You know, the truth of the matter is, if you were to ask anybody 50 years ago, would you let your kids go to a government school that taught them that the sodomite lifestyle was normal, you would say, I would never do that. But they do that today because over the span of like 40 or 50 years, we have been easily influenced a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more for wickedness and evil in our society. And now your kids, when they go to public school, you ought to sit down and ask your kids, from kindergarten to 12th grade, they're taught it's okay to be a sodomite. You can be a queer or a faggot, and you think that's normal. And they've evil influenced you without you even thinking about it. So it's just not the school teaching, but it's the classmates that are going to be your best friend forever. BFF. You don't care what they believe. You don't care what they think about. But because you were thrown in a class together, they're going to be your best friend, so you're going to hang out with them. And that stuff is going to rub off on you. Number five, the TV, the internet, social media, your cell phone, the radio, the music, the sports, the fashion, the fads, the trends are going to influence you more than you think. You're going to think who you hang around with. And if you hang around the television or the radio or these music, these harlots of Hollywood, the whores of Hollywood, you're going to start thinking that way. You're going to start living that way. You're going to start acting that way. It's not what you want to become. It's who you hang around. Number six, newspapers, magazines, billboards, newsletters, advertisements, and anything that catches your eye. They'll influence you. I remember I was a young kid just reading a newspaper, just saw the ads, saw the billboards. 6, 8, 10 years old. They have an influence that you may think doesn't affect you. I'm telling you, everything affects you. Everything. Number seven, the work that you do, your fellow employees, and your boss will affect you. You're there 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day. Don't tell me it's not going to affect you where you work. It's going to affect you. From the boss, fellow employees, or the type of work that you do. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Not a what? Oh, we're going through a depression. People live through depression. People made it through depression. Oh, the market just crashed, Pastor. What am I going to do? People live through market crashes. Oh, I'm going through a separation. My wife, my husband just left me. What am I going to do? People live through separations and divorces. But you're going to listen to counsel, ungodly counsel, evil, wicked advice of people who say, quit, surrender, throw in a towel. It's not worth it. Or you're going to listen to somebody say, you know what? Jesus has great plans for you. Don't worry. Don't quit. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read your Bible. Stay close to God. And things will work out for good. All things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. You're either going to take advice from the wrong crowd or the right crowd. And it's not going to be a what in your life. It's going to be a who. Who is going to influence you? Number eight, church. A Sunday school teacher. Junior church leader. A pastor. A deacon. Church members. Those people, this is why it's so important to pick the right kind of church. So you don't go to a church that's closest to you. Or you don't go to a church that's the largest. You know what people go to church for? They go, I'm going to find myself a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'm going to find a wife or a husband in church. And so you know what they do? They go to a church that has 1,000 people or 2,000 people. You don't even care what the doctrine is. You don't care if they believe in the Bible. You don't care if they use a King James Bible. You don't care if they have rock and roll music and a long-haired hippie weirdo freak playing the drums over here. You're just looking for the opposite sex is what you're looking for. Church will influence you more than you think it will. Whether it's a good church or not a good church. Number nine, politicians, authorities, and leaders, they have a bully pulpit. Whether it's the mayor of a city, the governor of a state, the president of the United States, those leaders have an influence when you read something that they said or you read something. Don't tell me that Bill Clinton didn't influence the country. Don't tell me that Donald Trump doesn't influence the country. Don't tell me Barack Obama didn't influence the country. George Washington influenced the country. Every president has influenced the country. And if you're not careful, you're going to allow a who is not right with God influence you more than a who is right with God. That's why one of the most important decisions you'll make after you get saved is who you marry. Yeah, he or she will either tear you down or encourage you to do right. He or she will keep you away from God and keep you away from church, or he or she will encourage you to go to church, encourage you to read your Bible, encourage you to live for God. People just go into marriage today, just say, I don't care who I marry, just some good-looking girl, good-looking guy, you know. So you can get a good picture on Facebook, you know. So on social media, you put, hi. We're so full of vanity today. Number 10, the Bible and Jesus. The Bible and Jesus. The Bible and Jesus. The King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, it's evil influencing your mind. It's polluting and corrupting your mind if you don't have a King James Bible. That's number 10. And number 11, I told you I had 11 points, is a stranger who could be a deceiver, a traitor, a Judas, a backslider, a rebel, a liar, a thief, someone who's living a wicked and evil life. They can destroy much good if you allow them to. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Proverbs 22 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Proverbs 13, 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 14, 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen to me good. God's going to bless and curse you depending on who you choose to associate with. Not what you want or hope or dream to be or do. God, let me review that. God's going to bless or curse you depending on who you choose to be your friends or your companions or your associates. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Proverbs 3, 32 says, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Proverbs 27, 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6 say, open rebuke is better than secret love. So I don't like that kind of preaching, Pastor. You know, we ask God, give us old-fashioned church. And so when the preacher preaches the old-fashioned truths from the Word of God, say, well, you know what? He's just off his rocker. He's just too strict. He's just too narrow-minded. Well, this is old-fashioned preaching. The reason our society is going down the drain is because nobody wants the truth anymore, hardly anybody. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. That's what God said. Psalm 26, verse 4 and 5. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I know this is not very popular today. I don't usually preach this in a Sunday morning sermon. I usually leave this for Sunday night or Wednesday night. But our lives are being destroyed because we're too flippant on decisions that we make on who we hang around with. As if it's not going to fail. Oh, I'm stronger than that, Pastor. No, you're not. No, you're not. You just think. Somebody has deceived you to think that you are. My Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his the law is in the light of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Let me ask you a question. The people you're hanging around with, do they love God? Do they love the King James Bible? Do they love an old-fashioned Hellfire and Damnation Baptist church? Do they care about souls being saved from hell? Do they care about Jesus? Do they care about the things of God? Ask yourself those questions. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Psalm 119, verse 115 says, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Proverbs 6, 27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he goes on. 1 Peter chapter number 4, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 says, flee fornication. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15, the Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. Proverbs 16, 29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Proverbs 28, 7 says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Mark 16, the Bible says in verse 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Ephesians chapter number 5 says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. 1 Timothy 5:22, neither be partakers of other men's sins. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5 says, from such withdraw thyself. The list goes on and on. But for some reason, people don't want to listen that, don't you tell your kids, hey, I don't want you hanging around that boy or girl. They're bad news. Stay away from them. Well, what's the difference with you telling your boy or girl for their own good to stay away from the evil crowd? What's so different than that from the preacher loving you and telling you, hey, stay away from the wrong crowd, please. It's going to destroy you. Shakespeare said, words are easy like the wind. Faithful friends are hard to find. He said, who could refrain that had a heart to love and in that heart courage to make love known? He that is thy friend indeed, he will help thee in thy need. If thou sorrow, he will weep. If thou wake, he cannot sleep. Thus of every good grief in heart, he with thee doth bury part. These are certain signs to know faithful friend from flattering foe. Most friendship is feigning, most loving mere folly. We don't even know what Bible love is today. We love the things of the world. If the devil showed up in a costume or a getup, we would love him too. I mean, that's how we are today. We're so gullible today. Aristotle said, a friend to all is a friend to none. Socrates said, be slow to fall into friendship, but when you are in, continue firm and constant. Benjamin Franklin said, 'tis a great confidence in a friend to tell him your faults, greater to tell him his. He said, be slow in choosing a friend, slower in changing. Cicero said, the shifts of fortune test the reliability of friends. Euripides said, one loyal friend is worth 10,000 relatives. Sophocles said, to throw away an honest friend is, as it were, to throw your life away. Aesop said, from Aesop's fables, he said, a doubtful friend is worse than a certain enemy. Let a man be one thing or the other, and we then know how to meet him. Epicurus said, it is not so much our friend's help that helps us as the confident knowledge that they will help us. Samuel Johnson said, there can be no friendship without confidence and no confidence without integrity. William Penn said, a true friend unbosoms freely, advises justly, assists readily, adventures boldly, takes all patiently, defends courageously, and continues a friend unchangeably. He said, William Penn, he said, they that love beyond the world cannot be separated by it. Death cannot kill what never dies. Nor can spirits ever be divided that love and live in the same divine principle, the root and record of their friendship. If absence be not death, neither is theirs. Death is but crossing the world as friends do the seas. They live in one another still. For they must needs be present that love and live in that which is omnipresent. In this divine glass they see face to face, and their converse is free as well as pure. This is the comfort of friends, that though they may be said to die, yet their friendship and society are, in the best sense, ever present, because immortal. General Grant said, the friend in my adversity I shall always cherish most. I can better trust those who have helped to relieve the gloom of my dark days than those who are so ready to enjoy with me the sunshine of my prosperity. See, we pick friends because we want to have a good time. You'll find out who your friends are when your heartaches and burdens come in life. You'll find out who your friends are when everybody walks out on you. John Chrysostom said, he was a famous Christian, the first century AD. He said, a friend is more to be longed for than the light. I speak of a genuine one. And wonder not, for it were better for us that the sun should be extinguished than that we should be deprived of friends. Better to live in darkness than to be without friends. George Washington said, associate with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. For it is better to be alone than in bad company. Here's what he said, George Washington. He said, be courteous to all, but intimate with few. And let those few be well tried before you give them your confidence. Johann Goethe said, tell me with whom you associate, and I will tell you who you are. Who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? Those 11 points I gave you, my biggest influence was my mother. I said early in the adult Bible study, if you see me do anything good at all, it's because God used my mother more than any other human being to teach me truths that are found in the Bible that are very rare in today's society. I remember we didn't go to church one Sunday morning, and she said, I was on the kitchen floor. 7, 8 years old, I was reading the comics. What do you do as a boy, 6, 7, 8 years old on a Sunday morning? I'm reading the comics. And she was upset about something, I don't remember what. She was in the kitchen, suds all over her hands, washing the dishes. She turned to me and said, in so many words, she said, for God's sakes, it's Sunday. Why don't you get a Bible out and read it? Well, you don't think that made an impression on me? I remember my mom telling me when she was in Greece in a Greek Orthodox church, an unsaved Greek Orthodox church in Greece, growing up as a girl, as a teenager, she said, the Bible says the priest used to tell us when Israel becomes a nation that the Lord's going to come back. You don't think that made an impression on me? Hey, dads, moms, grandmothers, grandfathers, you have more influence than you think on your children. Use it. Use it. Because when they go in the world's going to evil influence them. I've only got 1 hour on a Sunday morning, 1 hour Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm about to use as much as I possibly can. And I want you to remember everything I say. You may not agree with it. You may not like it. But I want to remember. I want you to remember something. One day you're going to die and meet the God who wrote this book. That's why after I got saved, I wanted to hear Jack Hiles at pastor school. People laughed, mocked, criticized him, hated him. He's dead now, 18 years or so, and they still hate him. You know what? That's one reason our church hasn't changed. You go back and get a sermon I preached from 25, 30 years ago. We're preaching the exact same stuff we preached 25, 30 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, at the Boys Club downtown. We started 31 years ago. We're not changing. You know why? Because we have a book that doesn't change. I have a God that doesn't change. He's the same today, yesterday, forever. If you hang around Jesus, you'll change closer to the Bible, amen? You'll be conformed more to the Word of God. The less you hang around Jesus, the less you hang around the Bible, you're going to hang around worldly influences going to destroy your life one day. It's not what you want to be. It's who you hang around with. Well, you don't know what happened in my life, Pastor. I don't care what happened in your life. I say, who's hanging around you and who are you hanging around with? Someone's going to encourage you to live for God. The other person say, see, I told you there's no God. Someone's going to say, trust God. Just be faithful. It'll work out okay. The other person that you're hanging around with is going to laugh and mock at you. And you're going to be evil influenced by the people that you hang around with that hate God. I think, you know what? It's really strange when you hear a Baptist preacher say this, but my wife and I got married in a Presbyterian church. I left the Baptist church I got baptized in because they were not using the King James Bible. And I went to a Presbyterian church, the Bible Presbyterian church, because they were using the King James Bible. Thank God I did. You know why? I learned about capitalism and the John Birch Society from a Bible Presbyterian church that changed my mind and my thinking because I went to a church that believed what this book said more than a Baptist church that I was baptized in. Don't tell me a church won't influence you. Don't tell me the pastor won't influence you if you let him. I'm trying to influence you to live more for God. I'm trying to influence people to get saved. I'm trying to influence you to get baptized. I'm trying to influence you to come to church. I'm trying to influence you to read your Bible every day. I don't care whether you like me or not. I don't care whether you help me or not. I want God to bless you. I don't want God to curse you. Why would you want to walk out and say, I want God to curse me and just hang around the people that God's cursing already? O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who? That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Who are you hanging around with? Who are you taking advice from? The internet? Dear Abby? Some guru? Or Jesus Christ from the Word of God? Do you realize Jesus loves you? Jesus came and died on a cross to save your soul from hell. He paid for your sin. None of our associates or friends or companions ever did that. No one will ever love you more like Jesus loves you. No one cares for you more than Jesus cares for you. Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Your fair feather friends, they'll leave you. They'll forsake you. When you've embarrassed yourself, you shamed yourself, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. When you fall flat on your face and the others mock and laugh at you and make jokes about you, and they distance themselves away from you, He'll never leave you nor forsake. Why wouldn't you want a friend like that? Why wouldn't you want to spend time with Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't you want to be the friend that He wants you to be? Everybody's afraid of politicians today. Well, we can't do that, Pastor. Well, if you love God and love the Bible, and you hung around God enough, you hang around Jesus and the Word of God enough, couldn't give a flip what the government said. That's what happened in the apostles. Acts chapter 4. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak. Pay attention. He said, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. What have they seen? What have they heard? They saw Jesus. They spent time with God. They spent time reading the Word of God. And while the others were threatening them and mocking them and hating them and imprisoning them, they said, we'd rather do what Jesus wants us to do. It's not what's happened in your life that'll mess you up. It's who is in your life that will mess you up. Thank God for parents. But we're going to cover some stuff tonight. Some parents are evil influences. We'll cover some of that tonight. Thank God for relatives. Thank God for churches. But a lot of churches have destroyed people's faiths. And relatives have whispered, and friends have whispered in their ears, said, why are you going there? They did to me. I know, I've been there where you're at. I got saved November 1978. I know exactly what people are saying. You go how many times to church? You give what? You believe that? You go there? Yeah. And it's almost uncomfortable sometimes. And they put you in a spot sometimes. But the greatest decisions I've ever made in my life is hanging around the right crowd. Even when the crowd thins, even when the numbers go down, even when so-called fair feather friends leave, you know what I found out? The blessings of God are still abundant, amen. The power of God is still abundant, amen. The love of God is still abundant, amen. And the wisdom of God is still abundant, amen. And I'd rather have God by myself than have the entire world without God, ladies and gentlemen. I'd rather have God in a jail cell and be locked up 23 hours a day with just God, even if I didn't have a Bible, than have freedom and live like the heathen and do what the heathen are doing. One day we're going to die. And one day we're going to stand before God. And one day we're going to give account of why we chose to hang around someone else instead of Jesus Christ. Why we would spend more time on the internet, television, and videos instead of the Word of God. We've memorized movies, movie lines, actors and actresses. We know what time our favorite shows come on. But we couldn't find Habakkuk in the Bible if we tried. We couldn't find some verses in the Bible if we tried. We don't even know what the Bible books are in order if we tried. Who hath bewitched you? Who are you hanging around? As Van Gogh said, he said, tell me with whom you associate, and I will tell you who you are. Are you associating with Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of telling others that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? You show me who is influencing you. That's what Paul said. Who hath bewitched you? Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for that day that lady gave me a gospel tract. Show me from the book of Romans that I was a sinner on my way to hell. I was happy-go-lucky. I was enjoying life. Carefree, life of the party, not a worry at all. And some stranger, a stranger, gave me a gospel tract, opened up the Word of God, and shared with me the truth. Dear God, I want to thank you that some stranger cared more about my soul than most of all the other people I mentioned in this list. And dear God, we may be strangers or relatives, parents, siblings, cousins, children, teachers, classmates. We can influence people for thee. Just as the world is evil influencing the churches and believers today, causing them to compromise, to give in and surrender the truths and principles of the Word of God, changing doctrines and teaching heresies, we as strangers can be the light of the world. We can be the salt of the earth if we influence them with thy word and thy love. I thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. Lord, please impress upon their minds, their hearts this week, who they are associating with, who they are companions with, who their friends are. I pray today during this invitation and this week, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you would impress upon us to make a decision to choose who our friends are. please bless this invitation. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they choose Jesus to be their friend today for salvation. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's saved, but they've not been baptized in a Baptist church, may they come forward and get baptized this morning. May they choose that today. And dear God, whatever the decisions else they have in their lives, may they make those decisions right today by deciding who it is they're going to associate with. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.